Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team, the FAST Team. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Tom Evans, president of the Florida Flight Instructor Association and FAST Team lead representative from Tampa, Florida, who is today's host.
Hi, everyone. My name's Tom Evans. Rooftop interview session time with these studios. We're just glad to have you part of the program. We're here at the 2010 Sun and Fun in Linderfield in Lakeland. Directing the program at the FAA Production Studios, Mr. O.B. Young. With me, I have Mike Edwards. Mike is part of a unique program that I think will see special emphasis a little bit later. It's called the Cigar Management. Mike, glad to have you, and could you tell us a little bit about the cigar concept, please?
Thank you. The cigar concept is really developed by the FAA. It's part of one of the FAA's Center of Excellence, known as Center of Excellence for General Aviation Research, or we're known as CIGAR. And the unique thing about this is CIGAR has no I in it. We work as a team. Now, our team that puts together the CIGAR program is made up of the University of North Dakota, Wichita State University, University of Alaska Anchorage in Fairbanks, and then Embry-Riddle in Daytona Beach and Prescott. The unique thing about all that is we are very geographically diverse. And we're very technology diverse. So as we get into our research projects that we've worked on projects that we can test in extreme cold weather. We can test it in the extreme heat, of course, here in Florida and also out in Prescott. So as we put together this unique opportunity to help out the General Aviation Consortium that we have here at Sun and Fun, we've been doing this now for about 8 years. My position as the project manager is, as I was telling you early on, is I'm kind of the ombudsman so that I keep track of all of these universities, all of these projects, put together the teams, and as a person who's spent roughly 30 years in aviation, I've been into the flight service station programs, I've been into the air route traffic control center programs, and just recently, at my age, with the gray hair I got on my head.
Okay, we all.
I got my MBA in aviation management. So I now have that unique process of trying to keep track of all of these people.
Fantastic, Mike. What would you give us some background information on Mike Edwards? Where have you come through the ranks to get to this point?
What I first started doing as a general aviation pilot, a unique story there in itself, is I wanted to learn how to fly because I got airsick.
Oh.
So I learned how to fly and I overcame getting airsick. I loved aviation and working through the various aviation groups that I did, volunteer for CAP and then working on from there. I got involved in aviation weather because one of the unique things that my instructor left me with was a real quick way to understand what aviation weather was all about. He said, take this blue piece of paper, fold it in fourths, and then cut the center out, hold it up to the sky, and if the blue on the paper matched the blue in the sky, you could fly. As I moved further forward, I was working with a company that dealt with the commercial products that could be sold to the FAA, and thus got involved in the automated flight service station and the work that these great people of flight service do, and started with the graphics that are needed. So when a pilot called in for the briefing, they then were looking at the commercial graphics that were being provided. And as I got into that more and more, I got to know what the FAA people were about when it came to weather. As I moved on in my career path, I went from there to Harris Corporation in Florida. And at Harris, I became a co-developer and a patent holder on an information system for weather to trains, planes, automobiles, aircraft, and the marine people. But as the economy at that time went, they decided to move forward, and I had the opportunity to join this consortium as the project manager. So I've been there, I've lived, I breathe aviation, and with my MBA in aviation management, I continue to enjoy that. Even as I get older, it gets to be more fun. And these researchers that we deal with are fantastic. They come from all walks of life. We have a unique research facility up the University of Alaska Fairbanks out in Poker Flats. We do UAS activity way up there. Down in University of Alaska, Leonard Kirk, who is in our booth today, Leonard did a lot of work on ADS-B through the Capstone program in Alaska, and he was the recipient of the Collier Award, the prestigious award given for outstanding work. So we have researchers like Leonard. We have other researchers that have received the award for Researcher of the Year from their particular university for the work that they do with SIGAR. We involve student activity. We look for MBA students. Yesterday it was unique. We had one of our students here that is doing information on NEXRAD data in the cockpit. How do the pilots look at NEXRAD data? They oftentimes see the green, the red, and the yellow and say, I can't fly there. She's working with the people at Wings and through SAFE and some others through industry to try to see if we can come up with an educational program that will allow pilots to fly safer by being able to understand what the data is all about. So we do get the students involved. This year, we were very fortunate to have a student from the University of North Dakota win the FAA Student of the Year Award, but went on to win the DOT Student of the Year Award. So the students who become involved are becoming very well known through SIGAR. We have those who have moved on to real prestigious positions. So not only do we do research, but we also encourage the involvement of student activity.
Mike, the VFR into IMC condition still seems to plague a lot of pilots out there. How will your management and the SIGAR system help those pilots?
A lot of what we're going to be doing in the future projects that we work on, and maybe it's better I go back and explain some of the projects that we worked on to answer the question. Some of those that are key right now that will be helping aviation in the remote areas, or even down here in Florida or in Alaska, depending on where it might be, we've developed a remote airport lighting application. We can light up the corner posts of a unlit runway, put markers out there, and light up a complete runway for emergency landings. Something that's never been done before. With the ADS-B program, we're starting our fleets at Embry-Riddle, University of North Dakota, University of Alaska, all have ADS-B. They're equipped. They're teaching the students of tomorrow what ADS-B is all about. So through the education process, they're working on that there. Through weather technology in the cockpit, which is our big item that we're featuring here at Sun and Fun, we have a three-part survey that we would like to have people stop by our booth and take advantage of. And we're showing some of the new products that are being developed that will come to the lower 48 here very shortly that are being developed by the National Weather Service in Alaska, believe it or not, and also the National Weather Service in Hawaii. And they'll migrate over to the 48 states. We're going to be showing 4D graphics. So the pilot now will be able to see what's above him, what's beside him, and what's behind him, and have it done in time. This is the unique thing that we're doing, and we're moving ahead as part of the next gen solution that SIGAR is having the opportunity to be part of. And again, the surveys that are being done, we have a pilot need statement. So we want to know what the pilots really need and how they want it delivered to them. Because today it's being delivered so many different ways. The FAA wants to kind of rein this in and get a handle on what's going on. We're working on the concept of operation. So again, we want to be able to have that in place. And then we're looking at the educational programs. And there are a lot of educational programs. As we talked to some of the private vendors out here, they endorse the program because they've got users that buy their equipment and they get the data on there and they say, there's nothing that I can do but give it to them and then away they go. So we're going to help the aviation world understand what safety is all about through better education. And in doing that, we work with a great group of industry sponsors that are part of our advisory board. So as I said, it's a partnership between academia, FAA as our customer, and the private industry. And some of our people are Gamma.
Okay.
They lead our board. NBAA, Cirrus, Cessna, as I read these out,
Sure.
EAA, big sponsor, which we're happy to have.
Uh-huh.
And then also Jepson and the SAO. They get together with us on a semi-annual basis, and we listen to what they're talking about because they're the eyes, the ears, the voice of general aviation. And they need to know what we're doing as well. And that's, again, what we're doing with weather technology in the cockpit. We also, to jump ahead to another real exciting program that we're working on safety management systems for GA. Now, in the commercial world, there's a program called ASIAS, and that's for the commercial people who they have to fly safe. They're pulling the American public from point A to point B. General aviation, they fly safe. But we're going to try to bring all that together under a systems management or safety management systems program, which the FAA has come to the consortium of SIGAR and said, we need your help. You have the experts. And we do, because that's part of my job as well. I data mine and I go to all these universities and I pull in the various experts, and it's fun. So in a synopsis, that's kind of the exciting things we're doing, helping the pilot understand when he's in the air, what's he going to do, how's he going to get out of it. Through the programs and through the help of the FAA, we hope that those research programs do that.
Right. All SIGAR, and there's no I in SIGAR, right?
No I in SIGAR, because we work as a team. That's one of my marketing ploys. And as working as a team, our SIGAR management office is based in Embry-Riddle. It's very lean, mean, and we're a very compact operating machine, as I would put it. We take care of the SIGAR teams. I put them together. We have kickoff meetings. They report out their activities every 90 days. We have two meetings a year for our SIGAR management group. This year, by the way, we're going to be meeting in Fairbanks. We're going to be up in Fairbanks, Alaska, doing our program management.
Do you have any tickets? I'd like to go up there with you. Can you?
The door's open.
Thank you.
If you want to carry my bags,
I'll do it.
We'll talk about that later. But we have the program up there, and from day one, when we first had our first meeting, we only thought we were going to have 20 people. Today, we get upwards of 80 people attending these meetings. Now, that may not seem like a lot, but when it's research, it's exciting when you get that type of community response that says, you guys are doing good stuff. We want to hear about it. And our researchers are anxious, too, because when they get out there, they take a look at the audience, and they just beam because there's people out there.
Sure.
There's people who really have questions, people who have real need, and they see the value in what we do in SIGAR.
Sure. Mike, give us an example and our guests that are tuning in to the rooftop interview here at 2010 Sun and Fun. What exactly are some of the examples that the advisory councils will kick back to you to develop this program?
Well, one that came out was alternative fuels.
Okay.
Because that's a big issue, obviously, for everybody that's here.
Sure.
They came back to us and said, we'd like to talk about that. Also, education, and that's the big item. How can we help on education? The other thing was the Weather to the Cockpit program. As we're starting to get involved with aviation people, they're coming back and saying, okay, our members need to know the following. So they're speaking up very vocally to us, and we listen to them, and then we go back to our customer, the FAA, and say, okay, from the industry side, this is what we hear. Then the FAA has to take a look at it and say, that input is good, they are your partners, and that may become part of our research project. So we work, again, as a team. As I said, there's no I in SIGAR. So as a team, you will find it being diverse in the fact that we have our four basic schools, but we also, for instance, in one program called scenario-based training, which has been adopted by the FAA, which is a big item as well. We have Middle Tennessee State join the group as an associate member.
Mm-hmm.
They helped us develop that program, and that the first publication under the scenario-based training has now been published and available for pilots to start using.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of good things from industry have been input into the system, such as scenario-based training and some of these new programs, and even in safety management systems. We have to go to the industry people because it's their program. It's going to affect them, and we want to know what's going on there.
Mm-hmm. And Mike, as we have the best seat in the house, we're enjoying the the delicious smell of this jet A fuel.
Yes.
And but who are some of those individuals that are assisting and helping you manage this entire concept?
Dr. Steve Hampton is the executive director of Cigar, and he is on the staff of Embry-Riddle. Cigar is organized in the way of looking at it like a business, where I have a board of directors, and Dr. Hampton is the executive director. University of North Dakota, Wichita State, and Embry-Riddle, and University of Alaska make up my board. So I have Dr. Hampton, executive director, I have myself, and then Ainsley Robeson is my grad student who works for us. But taking a look at the overall look, we have Dr. Tomlin from Wichita State, very well-known researcher mm-hmm. in the National Institute of Aviation Research in Wichita. Paul Linseth at the University of North Dakota, mm-hmm. another tremendous aviation school working there. And then Leonard Kirk from the University of Alaska, and Billy Connor at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. They are the core members, but as the mm-hmm. management team, you've got it there. We're very mean, lean, and we do work very effectively.
As we finish up here, Mike, what would you like to leave the audience out there? Give us some thoughts.
One of the things that as we found over the years being here at Sun and Fun, and we're also up at Oshkosh each year, is that a lot of people don't know that we're doing research, that the FAA does care about general aviation research. And it's pretty well evident for what we do and how we're engaged with the FAA that they're very well aware of what has to go on, not only to take a look ahead, but we're being involved in the aging aircraft situation right now. Mm-hmm. A lot of aging pilots, but there's a lot of aging aircraft, and there are a lot of questions there. The work is going on. Cigar is doing that, and we encourage people to stop by our booth while they're here and find out more about some of the things that we're doing. Mm-hmm. So as a partnership with FAA, with academia, and with private industry, as we look out over the area here, I've got to say it's a rewarding experience. Mm-hmm. Having done it for 8 years, I wouldn't give it up for anything. I love working with these people and the FAA.
Mike Edwards with Cigar, thank you so much for coming out here. I know it was tough duty, but somebody's got to do it, right?
I enjoyed it. It was very beneficial.
We sure appreciate you being here, Mike.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.